Jewish law for Jews is a certain age of majority when you become an adult. It's pretty young. You become an adult at 13. And if you're Mechalel Shabbos at 12 and a half, you could not be put to death or get malchus or any other punishment. But if you do it at 13, and if a girl does it at 12, there's an age of majority. What is the age of majority for Noachites, for Goyim? Do Goyim have bar mitzvahs, so to speak, in terms of liability? So the Chassam Sofer says a very interesting chiddush. The Chassam Sofer says there is no definite age of majority for non-Jews. It depends on how mature and intelligent the child is. So according to the Chassam Sofer, unlike Islam, where no matter how smart and understanding you are at the age of 12, you're not chayav until you're 13. Under the Noahide law, a nature-old might be chayav nisa if he really understands what he's doing is wrong. And maybe a 15-year-old, 20-year-old might not be chayav nisa if he doesn't really understand. So, imagine this. You have, and I'm giving you examples of non-Jews, obviously. You have a non-Jewish kid, very bright, genius, he really understands everything, but he's a bit of a kleptomaniac. So he walks by some candy store, and when nobody's looking, he takes a Hershey bar or whatever it is. According to the Chassam Sofer, if he understands what he's doing, he can be punished. And what is the Noahide punishment for Gezeila?
Death.
So the question is, it's really a hard question. Does the Torah really envision that a non-Jewish society, via the mitzvah of dinim, is supposed to create a system? I know that's not your question. I'll get to the extra about your question about the. But let's talk about the Noahide laws themselves. So here, there is a chiddush that is brought down. Not too many svarim say it. It is a very disturbing kasha, and I wish we could find a makor in Rishayim that say this chiddush. I would feel much better about it. But there is a chiddush that a few achronim say, Chelkas Yoav, Ravan Salavajer, and they say the following. They say that when the halacha says that the punishment for the Noahide laws is death, that does not mean that's a mandatory punishment. It basically means Hashem leaves to the Noahide court system the determination of what punishment they want to impose. And they could even impose a death sentence. In other words, the Torah basically says, whatever they think they need, unlike the Torah where Jews have specific punishments, Hashem is essentially saying, whatever they think they need, they can do. But it doesn't have to be the magic. Well, that's a little comforting in the sense that would mean, therefore, if a society would say, for example, that for theft, either you go to jail or you just pay, that would be permissible. They don't have to enact death. On the other hand, that also means the Taliban is permissible, because they could say, you know, we want to kill. You know. So, but at least it makes it not mandatory. Okay. Now, all of this is talking about death penalties for the six Noahide laws. But your question is a very excellent question. What about, according to Ramban, when the non-Jewish societies pass new laws, environmental protection, minimum wage, and they become part of the obligation via the mitzvah of dinim? Does that also carry a death penalty? Meaning to say, if I pollute, not I, again, this wouldn't be for a Jew, but the non-Jew, if a non-Jew pollutes, could he be put to death? So that's a very, very good question. But here I think we could be machalic. We could be machalic, and that is that the idea of death penalty is only for the commandments that are HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded. The commandments that are added by society with Hashem's Rishus, they can add whatever punishment they want. Since they're the ones who are creating the mitzvah, they could be magbil, they could limit the punishment. That's, I think that is true in Svara, although I don't have 100% right. So it's entirely possible for a society to say that the punishment for polluting is a fine, and that would not be a violation of the Noahide law.
The question becomes then, who's responsible for carrying out...
Yes, excellent question.
Because Shem and Levi weren't even based in according to Jewish
standards. That's correct. So that brings us to a new question, and that is, let us assume that the penalty for the Noahide laws can be as humble as death. Does that mean anybody can administer that? Because keep in mind, Shimon and Levi, right? The Rambam is trying to explain why Shimon and Levi were able to kill the city of Shechem. And the Rambam explains because the city of Shechem were in violation of the Noahide mitzvah to have a court system. Okay, but who's Shimon and Levi to do that? Shimon and Levi are not judges. Shimon and Levi are not a Beis Din. Shimon and Levi are vigilantes. So is the suggestion that I, as a Jew, if I see a non-Jewish person violating Noahide law, such as stealing, just stealing, I'm not even talking about murder. Now, I'm not talking about roving. I'm not talking about, you know, killing, that's a separate thing. Killing the guy that's going to kill me, kill somebody. That's bad language. But I'm talking about the person is violating Noahide law. Let's say he's committing adultery. Let's say he's stealing. Let's say he's cutting off Avram and Achai. Right? Am I allowed to kill him? A court could sentence him to death. We don't have those courts today. So that's the big machlokes. From the Rambam, the implication is vigilantism is permissible to enforce the Noahide code. But I've seen that it's a very, very scary idea. In fact, someone wrote a book, I mentioned this before, there's a sefer, actually it's a very interesting sefer, because he goes to a lot of Makairis. It was called Torah Samelech, which basically talks about, the heterum that you have to kill non-Jews when they're doing different things. Putting aside besides a mullet, but even if they're not a mullet, under the Noahide law, you know, you could kill them for this and that and that and that and that. And it was a sefer, and it needed to be discussed simply because the Makairis are murky. And as an area of halacha, again, this is not one of those things that you're giving a practical halacha l'maisa share. Nobody is saying to do this. But, you know, we're discussing the possibility. But I have to say that the Mechavrim got in big, big trouble. The police arrested them, and they were undergoing investigation. Some great rabbanim, okay, paskamas, were schlepped into the Attorney General's office, whatever it is. So it's something that we cannot talk about a lot. But I will tell you that a lot of poskim do differ with the Rambam on this front. And they say that even if there's a chi of Misa, you have to have a court system. And the analogy would be, again, look at it in terms of Jewish law. If a person is mechalal Shabbos b'farhesia, even with witnesses who gave a warning, even bisman hamikdash, an individual would not be permitted to kill him. You would need a Sanhedrin of 23. Right? You understand this? There's no halacha that I can kill a guy. In fact, even for murder, I can't do that. I can kill a person to prevent him from committing murder. But if he murdered, even if I'm a Goel Adam, it's important to know, the Goel Adam cannot kill until of Sanhedrin adjudicated somebody. So if that's true for a Jew, the swara would be, that might be equally true for a non-Jew. But I have to admit, according to the Mashmos of the Rambam, if Shimon and Levi went ahead and did it, without a Beis Din, without any authority, then the Rambam would seem to endorse anybody could enforce
the question, though, was on the other side. Let's say, assume you do need a Beis Din. Is that a Goyish Beis Din or a Jewish Beis Din?
No, it's a Goyish Beis Din. That much is true. That much is true because the Rambam says that the mitzvah of Dinim is that non-Jews are supposed to create their court system. Now, the Rambam does say, and this I think everybody would agree with, that if non-Jews have failed to do that and they're under the power of the Jewish people, like in Eretz Israel, a Jewish based in contrived. And that's true. That's still not the same as a guy in the street, you know, taking justice into his own hands. But the Rambam is mashma that he could.
Yeah. In which case, why do you need the dinim of, why do you need all these dinim? Why not just say right up that they kidnapped a Jewish woman and that there's actually going to do...
Well, the reason was that if they would have killed the city to get Dina back, perhaps that would have been correct. But remember, Dina was raped, Dina was released. Dina was in the Dina was already hung. Dina was in the custody of her family. So the idea of Rode, unless you're going to start saying, well, they'll do it in the future, but that's too speculative. I mean, Shechem had a particular longing for this particular person. So to apply Rodek, that wouldn't work.
they were not being punished for future danger. They were being punished for what they already did, and that's where you get the problem of vigilantism.
If that's the case, that a vigilante could kill a boy for breaking the law.
According to the Rambam.
Why would he say that is? Why would he say that is?
Basically, the Rambam says that since the Noahide violation does not need two witnesses, does not need warning, so the procedural rules that apply to a Jew don't apply to an non-Jew. But why would there be such a loosening? It is hard to understand. But inherently, the violation of the Noahide laws are so destructive that it's like a cancer. Anyone who could stop it in any way is supposed to stop it. But it's a very extreme position, and again, I want to be clear that I'm not advocating that you apply this position halachically. It would not be appropriate, and indeed it could endanger many other lives as well. That actually was Yaakov's taina. Yaakov's taina, ultimately, if you think about it, is Yaakov did not taina. This is what the Rambam is saying. Yaakov didn't say halachically they were wrong. Yaakov said it was a bad thing to do because you are endangering our lives in this community. And that identically, much more so actually, would apply here. So one has to make a judgment not to endanger Jewish lives because you want to fulfill your zealousness in enforcing the seven commandments of Noah.
Two questions. One, the first, when we're talking about statutes of limitations by Goyim, when we say 13 and 12 by Jewish boys and girls, that is also we say 13 and 12, and it's also psychological. The time we say that a 13 is also in terms of psychology, it's sort of from Donald. So why can't we apply that to Goyim in the
No, you absolutely would. You absolutely would. But the assumption we just says it's not going to be a one size fit all. That's what I'm saying. In other words, the court. The Noahide court would make an individual judgment. In other words, you're right. It may be on the average kid until he's 13 would not be responsible, but the Zom Shepherd says there can be exceptions. And he's by the way, Lahavdil, in existing secular law, you have a similar thing. Sometimes you hear about these little kids who commit murder, and a decision is made sometimes to try them as an adult. Although it's not so much based on maturity, it's based often on how bad the crime is. But this idea of trying a minor as an adult cannot exist under Jewish law, except for Ben Sora Ramori, which is one unusual case that never happened, according to Gemara. But generally speaking, in halacha, there is no concept that a minor could be punished as an adult until he's an adult, but under the Noahide law, the Chassam Sefer says such a concept.
So in a Noahide society, do they have priests and rabbis to teach them?
Yes, so this is the important thing. Ultimately, a Noahide society is supposed to develop its own poskim, its own rabbis, non-Jews, who are experts in the Noahide laws, but until such time as this exists, they do have to go to Jewish rabbis. And indeed, there are Jewish rabbis who kind of have specialized a little bit in Noahide law. I knew a rabbi, I think I mentioned, that on Shabbos, he was a rabbi of Shul, he ministered to the Jews, and every Sunday he would minister to the Gentiles. He would have a prayer service for the Noahites. Again, Chas V'Shalom, it wasn't to Yashka, it was to Hashem. And he would encourage. Now, prayer is not mandatory for Noahites. It's not one of the seven mitzvahs, but still, it's a good thing because it strengthens their emunah. And the like, and he actually taught them that. Now, let me mention two other laws that non-Jews are not supposed to do, but they're not listed in the Seven Commandments. And it's interesting why they're not listed, because they are prohibitions. One is, Goy Sheshavas Chayav Misa. If a non-Jew keeps Shabbos, they are deserving of death. Now, that doesn't mean they actually get killed, they say, but at least in Hashem's book, they are deserving of death. A goy is not allowed to keep Shabbos. Now, that's an interesting thing. That means, for example, practically, if you are a goy and you are even converting to Judaism, and you're in the middle of a conversion process, and you want to keep Shabbos, to learn how to keep Shabbos, you are obligated to do something that violates Shabbos. You can't be 100%. You turn on the bathroom light once, etc. Of course, you know the old story about the very, very Haredi guy who was in the conversion process, and he was very, very stark, very, very machmir, and he was very meticulous in doing the Hilchos Shabbos, like all of the chumras and the like. So one of his chaverim went over to him and said, "You know, you think you're so from, but you know you're actually violating your obligation because you are not allowed to keep Shabbos. You have to be mechal Shabbos." He says, "Don't worry, I carry in the Erev." So anyway, so he considered that to be a little Shabbos. But okay, anyway. I'll raise a question with Avram, but again, the question is, why isn't that counted as one of the seven commandments? So the Mefarshim explained very, very nice that the prohibition of a guy keeping Shabbos is because he's stealing the gift that Hashem gave to Am Yisrael. And consequently, we don't have to mention it as a separate commandment because it is really a subcategory of the prohibition of theft. It is theft of the national treasure. Shabbos is our national treasure, and that's why a goy should not keep Shabbos. By the same token, it mentions, and this also raises a lot of questions, and I'm sure you probably had some of these questions. People ask me this a lot. That is, the Gemara says a non-Jew is not allowed to learn Torah, because it says, Torah Siva Lanu Moshe. Moshe gave us the Torah. Mo Rasha Kifulas Yaakov, an inheritance to the congregation of Yaakov. And there are actually two different Yisurim. It's very interesting. There are two different Gemaras. One Gemara says the non-Jew is not allowed to learn Torah. The other Gemara says a Jew is not allowed to teach a non-Jew Torah. So there are two different prohibitions here. There's a prohibition on the goy to learn, even on his own. And there's a prohibition on the Jew to teach. Now, this raises millions, not millions, there's a whole bunch of questions. I mean, so if my non-Jewish friend, asks me, why I don't go in a car on Shabbos, am I allowed to explain it and the like? So I'm not going to go through all the sheetahs here, I just want to give you a bottom line. The bottom line basically is that you are allowed to teach a guy, and a guy can learn the written Torah, stories of the Bible, and in fact that might even be desirable because they learned that Hashem created the world and the like. Number two, you are allowed to tell them basic halacha. You're allowed to tell them we don't drive because we don't use electricity on Shabbos or the like. So what is really prohibited, the shayrish of the real prohibition, is to go into the in-depth Torah Shabbat Peh aspect, such as going through Gemara, Tosfos, going through Rishonim, meaning to say, you can explain basic Jewish practices. And in fact, there's even a Kiddush Hashem. You explain, what Jews do, and that could be a Kiddush Hashem, but you don't go into the Machlokas, Rashi, and Tosfos, or you don't go into the different ideas of Rambam and Ramban. You don't do it Be'im. Now, even there, we have a Machlokas. Does this even apply if somebody is preparing for conversion? We have people in our Sameach who are preparing for conversion. They come to Yeshiva. They go to a regular Gemara Shiur. Is that considered to be permissible? That is a machlokas haposkim. There are some poskim who will be machmir on it. Other poskim are making a lot of the stock we're working with here is we are lenient. But in terms of your neighbor who is not converting, rest assured you are permitted to explain basic things, but don't sit down and learn a piece of Gemara with.
I want to know, what about posting shiurim online?
Okay, so that's an excellent question. So the question is, it can happen a lot of ways. I'm teaching a class and a non-Jewish guy, walks in. Do I have to stop? Of course, in college campuses, half the people who go are not Jewish, but maybe they have a Jewish father and a non-Jewish Jewish mother, and they didn't convert. You post things online, you give a radio share, or an online share, or whatever it would be. Obviously, there'll be a lot of non-Jews listening. So there we have a different lumdus of heter. And the heter is, when you're delivering things to mixed audiences, your kavana is to teach the Jews. the non-Jews have to hear, that's not the same thing as targeting.
There's no limitation on what you teach in that case?
In that case, there is no limitation. In fact, around 70 years ago, maybe 60 or 70 years ago, there was a great rabbi in Elizabeth, New Jersey, Rabbi Pinchas Teitz, and this is before there was an internet, but he pioneered, he gave a weekly daf Gemara shiur on the radio. That was as high tech as they had in those days. And people raised the question, hey, how are you allowed to teach on the radio? There'll be plenty of non-Jews that'll be listening. And the heter basically was, when you're throwing out your Torah to the undifferentiated audience, you could say you're machane to reach the Jew, even if the Jew is the minority. That's your kavana. You're not targeting anybody to the non-Jew, and then we don't have any Hindus.
Going back to the Shechem and setting up a base, and so we said, well, one opinion was that they when it says up to killing the person for transgressing, that meant that there was a range that they could choose. Right. So then the question you raise, like, so okay, what if they just say, like, the punishment is no punishment?
That's an excellent point. If they would simply say no punishment, that is not a range. That is simply abdication of responsibility. So that wouldn't be justifiable. The question is, how small a punishment would be acceptable within the range? Mm-hmm. Let's say they say, we're going to tap your right finger once with the pen. Mm-hmm. I don't have an answer. In other words, it seems clear that there has to be a real punishment.
Right.
And at what point would it just be such a joke that it really counts? I don't know. But one thing is clear, if there's no punishment at all, that would clearly be a violation.
So then is the halacha of din not like, you have to make a din, but you have to make a din that's considered a din? Like,
I think so. In other words, maybe the standard would be enough of a punishment that it would scare people or deter people from committing the violation. That could be a fine, that could be a good thing, but something that's so small that it wouldn't stop anybody who wanted to do it, that may not have a din of a punishment.
And do we base it on perspective? Because what if like in let's say in India, right? If you kill somebody, the din is you have to eat a cow. But like, that's obviously not like for us. It's like nothing. But to them, it's like terrible. So do we also include that into the creation of dins?
I think so. If it works for that society, it works. If it works, that's what they said with Islamic terrorists. They said that the best way to stop it would be that when they're arrested, you make them eat pork or something like that. That would stop them from doing those. Okay, I got to stop with anything.